Jeremy White.
We got summer is what we've got. Humidity and summer. 80s and 90s. I mean, it's going to be hot.
Are we allowed to complain or no? Because May was so bad that it was like enough of the 40s and 50s.
You're allowed. It will just reinforce my belief that 90% of life is asking when the current weather situation will change.
And Joe DiBiase.
I've been to Athens. Not impressed.
You were not impressed?
No. The Parthenon was really cool and awesome, and the rest of it, eh.
Not impressed.
It's not what you think. You think you're going to show up at this city that's been around since the BC times, and you realize, oh, wait, they rebuilt this all in, like, 1850. If I want to see buildings that were built in 1850, I'm going to go downtown.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
I feel like that's the meme, Joe. That's the two hands shaking. Downtown Athens, downtown Buffalo.
Yes, yes.
Same.
Yeah. Downtown Buffalo, even maybe more impressive. Well, gotta say.
Get out.
Downtown Athens, just nothing.
Wow.
I stand by everything that I said there about Athens. Maybe I was in the wrong part of Athens. I don't know.
Well, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. I am live from home today, but we're still on the air and everything's the same. The only difference is...
You're not in the same room as I am.
No. Now, because we're not in the same room, this is a big day for the chat. I think it's a big day for the chat on YouTube, if you're on our YouTube stream, because I just, you know, in talking to you and not being able to see you, I'll probably watch the stream a little more to see you.
Right.
So, like, we can... Right. Like, I feel like I'm talking to you a little bit more. And, you know, that'll be great for the chat because I'll see more comments.
Yes.
So here we go.
Yeah.
You can join us at 803-0550. We can chat about anything really.
Big day for the bullpen.
Huge day for the
bullpen. You guys have some pressure on you, that means, I think.
Yeah. An early comment right away. Where's your wide receiver board? You know what? That's a good question. I don't have one in here.
It's over there.
And when we get to draft season, I will have to actually put one in here. I guess that's the call to action.
Shouldn't you have some sort of train decor in the background there of some sort, or maybe pictures and maybe jerseys of some of the great receivers of all times?
You might be right. I might need something like that.
Get a Lee Evans jersey back there. That's what
all
you
right.
mean.
I got a Stevie
Molds,
jersey.
Lee Evans, like the different generations of Bills receivers.
I have Stevie and I have Diggs.
Okay, that's a good start.
I don't have Evans. Those are the last two great Bills receivers. And, you know,
Evans,
maybe one
Molds,
of these guys,
and Andre. That's what you need.
Maybe one of these guys on this team, I'll snag a jersey eventually. But I've already thought my next jersey is going to be Dawkins. So, you know,
yeah.
the big man barge, right? That's
the
what Josh was calling
barge.
The big man barge.
Yes.
That's the plan. So anyway, hey everybody, Jeremy and Joe. I'm live from home. Joe's in studio. Josh and Owen are here as well.
Mm-hmm.
You've had time to sleep on it. I mean, is the James Cook reaction the thing to still do? We heard from Brandon Bean. We heard from James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal gets done. I have it's not quite a rant / mini rant, but I'd like to, if possible, all of us acknowledge how dumb all of us are. How dumb the NFL contract process is,
mm-hmm.
How silly every single conversation about a number is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give you 10 reasons that happened in the last 24 hours, if I could.
Okay.
So James Cook's initial tweet is $15 million, right?
Yes.
Did he mean actual $15 million or agent inflated $15 million? Because we already know there are like two sets of numbers. Then we get down to a third set of numbers. I've seen the Cook deal broken down so many times. Bill Barnwell just pointed out that when the agent said the most guaranteed money, he was including the guaranteed money he was already guaranteed in the final year of his deal.
Right, his rookie deal. Yeah.
Yes. Counting money you're already guaranteed as guaranteed money in the deal?
Yeah, that doesn't seem you're misleading. You're misleading by doing that. Yeah.
It's terrible. And on top of that, what you also get is teams talking about it. Well, sure, it's a 4-year extension, but if you include the year he's already on, I've got him at 5 years for this. Yeah, don't do that either.
No.
Like, everybody just it's kind of like evaluating a quarterback and saying, look at his quarterback rating in games between this date and this date. He's got as many touchdowns as Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Every contract breakdown is effectively the graphic that tries to make Tua look as good as Josh. That
yes.
is every single contract breakdown we ever get. And I'm ready to just say, like, we're all so dumb for this. Like, all
uh-huh.
of us.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, how much is he really even? We don't know the cap hits, right? Like, until we see the cap hits, I don't really think anybody knows whether it was a great deal or not. Is that fair?
Sure.
And even then, like, it's, well, those will be the cap hits for a couple of years, but everything gets so moved around that you'll never see that same number in, like, the fourth year of the deal, the third year of the deal. So it ends up, I do appreciate how hockey does it a little bit when we go through all of this.
Straight number.
It is just a straight number. It's the same every year. You know it's never going to change. And that can hurt the team, right, because they can't get out of anything other than a buyout. You have so many less levers to pull. But in terms of digesting it as a fan, it's, how much does Dahlin? 11. And how much will he make in 6 years? 11.
Right.
We just know that. We just know what the number is going to be forever and always, and we can compare it to everybody in the league very easily.
It's one thing the hockey has right. It's just easy. 6 years, $66 million, $11 million for 6 years. Done. End of story.
Right.
There's no working them. There's no re-signing. Yeah.
It's,
and
well,
extending.
What's the guaranteed money? And then what's the total guarantees? Because it's different than the guaranteed money.
Then there's guaranteed at sign and all this and all this.
All the different types of incentives and everything.
Yeah.
There's so much of it.
The one thing I would say regarding the Cook deal, so I almost want to not even bother to give you the numbers because they get confusing, and it's like, whatever, he's on the team. Do you like the idea of spending this money on him or not? And I feel like that's kind of where you should land. Do you like the idea of spending money on him or not? And the biggest debate I got into yesterday about any of this was whether or not the Bills got a bargain. I do not believe the Bills got a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people came after me a little because I thought the general belief will be that Cook won. And when I say that, you could interpret it a couple different ways. If you thought $15 million was really the goal, which I never thought it was really the goal, but if you thought $15 million was the goal, well, then you probably think the Bills come out looking great because the latest from Barnwell is that it's actually kind of close to $10 million a year. Okay, look at you, Brandon Bean. That's a master class.
Yeah.
But if you didn't want a running back sign and you didn't want a running back to get money, then you do not think that 10 is even really a good idea. I know, like, you and I talked about this, and
right.
I've lived there in the past. Don't sign any running backs. Will the Bills ever sign a running back? You know, they didn't give him Saquon money, which I never thought they would, but they gave him a healthy contract, and he is now a well-paid running back in the NFL, which I don't have a problem with. But But at the same time, I don't think it's a bargain, and I don't think it's really ever likely to be a bargain. I feel like sometimes, Joe, people are very eager to call deals bargains, especially in hockey. It happens a lot in hockey.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a bargain. I think he's now a guy that gets paid, and that's fine. Like Shakir. I don't think Shakir is this massive bargain. I think Shakir's a guy that gets paid well, fine, good. Not an overpay, just like a guy that's getting paid well.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't we all acknowledge that a good chunk of contracts in the NFL are just like, yeah, this guy gets paid now versus, you know, rookie deal?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I did the exercise last week about how far off Benford is from the top corner in the league, how far off Rousseau is from the top edge rusher, Shakir from the top receiver. And don't they all end up falling and ranking about where they're considered in the league? Like, it's all about, hey, Greg Rousseau is like, you know, I don't know the rank of Tom Ahead, but he's like the 13th highest paid defensive end in football. Where would you rank Greg Rousseau among defensive ends in football? Well, like 15th, 14th, maybe around there. Maybe that's even giving him too much credit.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, he's properly paid then. And I think Cook probably will fall into that same exact category. He is going to be, on a per-year basis, behind Barkley, behind McCaffrey, behind Derrick Henry, but he's going to be above Kyren Williams and James Conner and these guys like that. And to me, that's probably about right.
About where he should be.
I think all these guys this offseason ended up being about where they should be. I don't think the Bills maybe got a bargain on any of them, and I don't know that any of the players really got to steal themselves, and maybe you could argue that with Cook if you want to get into the guaranteed number, but in terms of all of them, I feel like they kind of landed where they should have been.
Yeah, like I like how you said that. Like, a lot of them come in. The thing the Bills do is, if you compare them against some of the teams that are very bad at this, like the Cowboys,
right?
Like, the Bills save money by doing that. one thing about Cook and market rate, I saw a number of people pointing out, like, hey, Spotrac had his market value, and we love Mike Jannetty and Spotrac, market value at about 10.3 or something. He comes in about 10, ultimately, after you break down all the numbers.
Yeah.
Was he on the market? Like, is market value, it's not a question I've ever thought for Spotrac and Mike Jannetty.
Right.
Is market value your open market value? Because one of the things about Cook here is he was not. And a lot of this conversation had been about people saying he doesn't have leverage. He doesn't have leverage. And he had enough to get his market value while not on the market, if that's in fact what that means. So, I don't know. It's UFA versus signed by your own team is always a little bit different. I keep saying I am good with the contract, and I did want them to pay this player about this much money.
Yeah.
So I'm not here telling you they got taken. Where I land ultimately, and if you want to give us a call at 803-0550, where I land is he got the job done. He won. He got a second contract. He got paid well, and the Bills wanted to pay him. So, like, I think whatever. I'm not saying the Bills lost. It's not one versus the other, but I do think that James Cook comes away with a W here because he got paid more than at least some thought he would get.
Well, in the idea of a bargain, I think implies you got him for less than he would have got on the open market. You got him for less than what he would have signed for somebody somewhere else. The implication that, all right, he got $12 million per year with you and $30 million guaranteed, and if he had waited a year and went through the bidding process, he would have got $15 million a year and he would have got $40 million guaranteed. And the more that we dug into him and dug into him and some of his limitations, I wonder if there was a team out there that would have valued him, not even more, the same that the Bills valued him. Like, was this as good as he was going to do anywhere? Because the same holes in his game were going to be persistent elsewhere. How many teams were going to want to pay a running back that doesn't play half the snaps?
Good question.
Because this is a team where you can get away with that. Your quarterback, mm-hmm. your offensive line, you have a third down running back that can do a lot of that stuff. Not everybody's got that. Maybe, like, some teams have bad offensive lines. Some teams have quarterbacks where the running back has to protect because the guy isn't as mobile. I'm thinking of, like, Miami for that, or you know, teams that just can't even risk it. We talked about this with Kyron Williams. So all it takes is one other team, but I don't think there would have been this long, long list. Like, not everybody in the league would have looked at James Cook, the player, and said, that's the perfect fit for our offense.
Right.
You got to have, I think, the right type of offense to value him that highly. So I don't know that it's a bargain, because I think it's very realistic to think this was the most he was going to get anywhere.
That tends to be what I think, too. And to further the point about how this is all kind of silly, us trying to figure out and, you know, assign bargain or overpay to it, is that we don't have the Kyron Williams details yet.
Yeah, there's no cap hits or anything. We just know 3 for 33, right?
3 for 33. So while James Cook's 4 for 48 has been kind of, hold on, let's carve that down. It's about 3 for 30. Oh, it's even under Kyron Williams. Well, Kyron Williams hasn't had his deal carved up yet, where we see
it's going to be like 2 for 22, 23.
Right.
Really?
It might be the kind of thing where by the time we see his deal carved up and what that deal ultimately is, now we're even, oh, the entire market isn't as bad as previously thought. And that's something that happens at every single position. Every position, every one of these, the deal ends up looking inflated. And again, like, throughout this process, I wanted them to sign him. I'm glad this deal is done. Mm-hmm. I am excited to watch this exciting player who is explosive. I hope it goes well for 4 years. I know there are going to be some good cases to make about, you know, a running back and what you could get there. I hear all that, but I'm happy. I'm glad that this deal got done. And frankly, I think Cook is a really fun player to watch. He's a bit unique in his style of running, and I'm glad the Bills have him. Like, won't they be motivated to keep this offense the way that it's going, where he gets the ball in space, makes big plays? Like, there are things about that I really like. So I'm glad the deal's done, and I feel like I'm having the conversation about Allen being overrated, where I would say to people, I don't think he is, but if you say it, I think you're allowed to say it. That's all. If you think he's the second best or the first best, and the same with Mahomes, and, you know, so much, Joe, our conversations are, everybody has to line up behind, is it a bargain or not? Is it this or that? And yeah. I'm good with the deal. I don't think it's a bargain, and I think that's fine. You can't just get bargains on all 53 contracts.
Right. I do think what's interesting is how long this deal goes. And I hadn't thought about this yesterday. I think I said that this takes him through age 29. It actually takes him to 30 because I had forgotten that the deal doesn't start right away. Right? Like, yeah. You get the final year of the rookie deal, and then you get four more years after that for Cook. So you take him through 2029 when he's a 30-year-old running back. You have levers to pull after the third year. The contract, 3 years from now. Like, if it wasn't going well, or there's an injury, or, hey, if Joe Brady is gone by then to a head coaching job, which is, I think, by 2028, that's probably likely.
Very likely, very likely.
If he's gone, I mean, a new coordinator might come in and love James Cook as a player and have the same type of role carved out for him, or they might run a different type of scheme, or maybe the league has changed and there's a reason why he's not as valued. I don't know what's going to happen in 3 years. If something like that happens, though, you can get out of it. You can carve up the money easily. They really left themselves the ability to end this in 2028, which is 3 years from now, if they feel like they need to. And really, we say this with hockey a lot, too. It's like sometimes you got to pay for – this is not to say that I still would have done this because I think there are other consequences. I just would have liked to use that money elsewhere. But why I don't think it's, like, devastating – by any means, is sometimes you do gotta pay at the front end of a deal, and you might have to take on a consequence at the end when you're trying to win. Like, yeah. I'll pay a price in 28 and 29 to make my team better in 25 and 26, like to try to win the Super Bowl right now. That part of it, I'm not really worried about. I don't think the Bills will ever take a bad cap hit for James Cook. Like, that's just kind of how it ends up being. It's going to be $3 million this year, $5 million next year, $13 million the year after that. Like, and $13 million then is going to look like 8 or 9 by percentage of cap, probably.
Yep.
So, and then after that, again, if you want to move on, they'll do the thing they did with Trey White, or they'll do the thing they did with Diggs, but to a much smaller degree of, I'll just take a number. I'll take $5 million this year and $6 million next year on a cap. It's going to be $600 million by that point.
It's another part of, like, the dead cap conversation. I end up thinking, whenever you're talking about, oh, do they have room, dead cap, why will there be dead cap? It's because they've already paid him money. You just mentioned, like, his three cap hits are what, 3, 5, and 7?
3, 5, and 13. 27, okay, it's 13.
Gotcha, 3, 5, and 13. Where's the dead cap come from? It comes from a deal that averages 10, you paid him 3 this year, and then 5 next year. Like, you owe the money that's on the AAV.
Right.
So, dead cap, I feel like, and I'm one that does this too, I feel like all of our conversations about money and cap are just, we almost should never treat it like it's real, because even dead cap is seen as, oh, wow, what a mistake. Like, you probably plan for it. These teams definitely plan, we'll carry dead cap in like 3 years. And what does that mean? That means that we spent that money in the year before. We were, by actual dollars, $78 million over the cap. We just moved into the future years.
Yeah. You want to know in 28, in 3 years, if they said, for whatever reason, you decide, whatever the reason is, okay, we want to move on here. Like, we love Jimbo, but it's time to move on. If in 3 years they want to move on from James Cook, they will take a dead cap hit in 2028 of $3 million and in 2029 of $4 million, and then it's over.
Right. Like, it's just, your punter makes that much in 2029.
Right.
It's just, right. This deep, deep debate about this was never a contract. He's making a quarter of what, like, a guy like Myles Garrett makes, which those are big chunk contracts. It's super important positions.
Right.
You know, every once in a while, you and I would talk about this, and I'd come back to, man, we're arguing an awful lot about a guy that's going to make not a lot on this roster.
That's right. I do still, though, like, even though it's a quarter of a Myles Garrett-level contract, again, my problem, my nitpicky problem with this offseason is I wonder if they will have the room or even the desire to go get a $40 million a year player if that player is made available, because they've signed so many of these types of deals, and Cook is just another one that will make it a little bit harder. So on its own, no, it does not preclude you from trading for Micah Parsons in a year if the Cowboys decide, all right, this is over, we got to trade him. But by signing Palmer and by signing Cook and by having Dawson Knox on his number and then McGovern at some point, like all of these mid-level contracts, it's what the Bills have decided to do. Like, we think we can win this way. We don't need superstars around Allen. We just need a lot of good players. But I've been wanting to see them get a player of that caliber, and I do think every deal that they sign makes that harder.
803-0550. A logical follow-up to that would be, and if you want to have this conversation, we could, what's the most likely road they take to having that player on their roster? This guy needs to be paid $40 million. What's the most likely road they take? Mm-hmm. Is it something like TJ Sanders is Chris Jones? You know, so what is it? Because we could sit here and talk about how could they pay a guy like Garrett? Could they have room for a guy like a Max Crosby? Those guys don't get traded.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we get to should they go for this guy, it's like, well, do you want to pay $40 million and two firsts?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the most likely road to getting a player that is that good? It's probably a draft pick.
It is usually, but is there anybody? Sure, like it could, TJ Sanders, that could happen. But is there anybody on the roster right now that you would project other than Josh Allen ever makes $40 million?
Well, it depends how long some of these guys play. I mean,
anybody, let me just put it this way. Anybody on the roster right now becoming a $40 million player would be a shock. Not to say TJ Sanders can't do it, but come on. If he became Aaron Donald, it would be shocking.
Right. You'd have to project Maxwell Hairston to be a top three corner in the NFL, and by the time his rookie deal is up, could corners be at 40? I mean, maybe.
Right. Not to say it's impossible. It's just likely at all that will be the case. Like, if there was a – if Kincaid had – well, tight ends wouldn't get that anyway. If Coleman had 1,300 yards in his rookie season, if he was Brian Thomas Jr., if the Bills had Brian Thomas Jr. on their roster right now, what would they say? We're like, you're going to be paying that guy $40 million in a year. In 1 year, you're going to be paying that guy $40 million a year. But I don't see a young player on their team right now that has done anything on the field like that that would tell me, oh, yeah, that guy's – he's working towards that.
803-0550. If you want to share a thought on this, the offseason comes to an end. A lot of things to talk about. I have a very fun James Cook game to play.
Okay.
It's a game we haven't played in quite some time that I think everyone's going to have a wonderful time with. So that's my plan.
We'll get more Owen eliminations today,
Owen,
maybe, on his
picking
Premier
League
list.
Team. I'm wearing my oldest Arsenal jersey, yellow with the Arsenal crest on it.
How old is that?
2012, maybe? 2011, 2012?
2012.
I got it at the stadium. This was the first one I bought. I was touring the stadium, nice. And I bought this jersey at the stadium.
Okay.
The good news is it still fits 13 years later. So,
nice.
I don't know what I expected. Not like I'm going to grow like, you know, a foot taller. Anyway, Jeremy and Joe, Josh and Owen are here. We'll talk to Sal at 8 o'clock. We'll dig into comments from Brandon Bean, from James Cook. The football world reacts to Cook signing. And I think it's generally pretty positive. He's thought of as a good player, and the Bills have decided to keep a good player. So if you're listening now, maybe you weren't with us when the news broke yesterday at 7:30, so give us a call. Get your reaction in. Do you love the move? Are you a little worried about it? And should his role change at all? Will they get an uptick in how much they use him? Bean did speak to that yesterday. And Sean McDermott joined the afternoon, guys. So it was a big day for the Bills and a big day for us talking to Bills brass. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.
Just to show my loyalty to my team and my teammates, you know, I know they always got my back, so I got their back too. So just showing them that I'm willing to not be a problem and a distraction, just go out there, just practice and play and see what happens. That was my mindset.
Bills running back James Cook. Contract extension for him. The Bills go 5 for 5. All five guys that were kind of up for deals all get extensions. And the new core, as it's being called, Bernard, Shakir, Rousseau, Benford, Cook to go with Allen, Spencer Brown. Who else is signed long-term? Did I say Benford?
Dawkins.
Dawkins.
I mean, he was a part of the previous one, too.
Yeah, he's, of course, part of the core.
Yeah.
Who else am I talking about here? That might be it. That's it for now.
You said Terrell Bernard?
I said Bernard. I didn't say
Oliver.
I didn't say Coleman yet. Dawson Knox, let's put him in there for a holdover on, like, core. You know, Kincaid and Coleman.
Is that Oliver really part of it?
Yeah, he's got to be. He signed.
How much has he got left? Can't be much, right?
Wasn't last year his second year on that deal?
That was it?
Because he signed it and had a great year. And I don't feel like, if I'm remembering, last year was not the year that was the great year.
Yeah, he signed a 4-year deal, and then it's the same as Cook, right? Where, like, there was one rookie year, and then it started.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. He's got, I mean, a lot of people might be going to spot track today.
I am.
Yeah, because
I'm here right now. Like, there's a potential out after this year.
Okay.
But there's a lot of dead cap if they move on from Oliver. I feel like he's a restructure candidate. He's 28 right now.
Yep.
Anyway, 803-0550. Your thoughts on Cook getting that contract done? And whether or not, you know, we could talk about, like, distractions. Now there are no distractions. Doesn't the deal getting done and now everyone talking nicely make it seem like it was never that big of a distraction? I mean, we were distracted by it. We got a lot of conversations out of August contract negotiation stuff. But in reality, you know, what?
I mean, Bean said that he was worried about, he was legitimately worried about it being a distraction. But then he also said that he thought, you know, after he had that worry, the team treated it perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So I don't think it really ended up being one. Unless, you know, there would be guys that would say that it was and it was, they wouldn't admit it. Maybe that could be a coach. Maybe that could be other guys in the running back room. But nobody expressed that it was ever like a giant distraction to them.
Yeah. Let's get some calls in. 803-0550. We have a spot for you to chat with us. Mike in Orchard Park is up first. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
thanks for having me on. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, the contract in general, there's been a couple of reports that it's really a 3-year deal, $10 mil a year, you know. Like, overall, I don't hate that we're keeping one of our best offensive players, right? And I guess what I question with this deal is there's a, you know, Brandon Bean is very smart in his staff, how they run the cap. And there was a reasoning why Brandon Bean was, you know, trying to hold off this contract. And I guess, like, my main concern moving forward here, yes, James Cook's contract is just a small portion of the cap. But moving forward here is keeping the offensive line intact for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's my main concern. This is one of the best offensive lines we've had in Buffalo in a long time, especially Josh Allen's had. So, you know, like, you know, Torrance's contract is going to be coming up soon. Mm-hmm. McGovern's contract is coming up. So, like, that's where my concern is, right? Like, you know, there's a reason why we were trying to hold off the James Cook contract. And I guess I'm just concerned of, like, making sure we have the funds and the availability to keep our offensive line intact moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. Like, sometimes the offensive linemen are easy. Part of this conversation has been that the Bills haven't had a player push them.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be because Cook wanted to push, or that could be because the Bills were a little bit lower than he liked. Or that's the thing. We don't get to know how they arrived at where they got to, but everybody else just kind of signs. It's been something the Bills have been credited for, signing guys early. Will Torrance just go the same way as Spencer Brown, where it's, oh, yeah, there you go. There's an extension. And the same as everybody. Everybody just signs, right?
Yeah.
I guess the only examples we could use now are guys that leave, and this is how it goes. We are convinced they didn't want to keep Tremaine Edmonds. Now, did they at a certain number?
Yeah.
But he left, so we say, oh, they didn't want him. Did they want to keep, what, Jordan Poyer when he left for Miami? I don't think so.
No, like, that's the thing that's kind of funny about Edmonds is he kind of stands alone here. On, like, Bean says, what, draft, develop, and re-sign our own. They have basically done that with every single player that it's at least reasonably good or that they have drafted high and is reasonably good. Except that one dude.
And so, Gabe. It's Edmonds and Gabe.
And Gabe. I guess that's right, too. Gabe wasn't a first-round pick, though. And
Fair.
You know, wouldn't there be a little extra feeling inside a GM to say, I picked that guy in round one. I traded up for that guy. I want that guy around long term. I'm going to want to make that look like a great pick looking back on, you know, I traded up and got Tremaine Edmonds in the first round. Maybe he doesn't care because it's the same draft as Josh Allen and no one's ever going to look past pick seven in that year. But he's the only one. So was he just the only one that was about money? Or I really am curious how that played out because it's very unique. He's the only guy. You're right. Like, to include Gabe is probably right. But I do think Edmonds being a first-round pick makes it a little extra something.
Well, as you point out that, like, draft and develop, I want to make this point without, like, trying to sound too cynical, but I think it's part of reality, which is if they come up short, and continue to come up short, it'll then be a talking point that this is something that happened with it happens with the Sabres and Darcy, and they're too loyal to their own players. Here's a great example of the other end of the spectrum. We've got a person in the chat saying, like, hey, well, they've got their core locked up. So do the Sabres. And doesn't it feel like the Sabres are stuck in theirs? Like, oh, yes. all these long-term deals, we're kind of stuck with these players. Where's the room for somebody else to come in?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a perfect comparison because in the NFL, the cap goes up $60 million every year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, just keeping guys under contract, like what Bean is doing is, on one hand, smart, good business. We have good players. We're going to keep our good players. We're not going to go to the desert to try to find a replacement at five different positions in one season. He's going to kind of keep this thing going. And on the other side is, well, you kind of don't give yourself the opportunity for someone to come in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I mean by that is the running back room is set now. They won't draft a running back in the fourth round who ends up being Bucky Irving freak show. Holy cow, look at this surplus we get for 5 years. They are very unlikely to have a receiver do that, too. They're very unlikely to have a lineman do that as well. And again, like, I know that that is a gamble when you do that, but if you don't have guys locked up, you can use a bunch of picks and have those guys come in. And that's something that we've talked about a little bit, like the Rams and the Niners have done.
Yep.
Pay the elite and then draft a bunch of guys and see who comes into those spots. So a lot of different ways to do it. Again, what I'm getting at is all that really matters is if they win.
Well, back
they win.
Back to the caller's point, though, about the line. Like, maybe the line is a place that they will look to upgrade or look to, you know, invest a high pick in. It would be surprising to me if Torrence is not going to get an extension, but I don't know. Connor McGovern's got a high cap hit. You know, they could have done something with him all offseason. If they really wanted him around long term, it would have made total sense to get him on an extension and lower that number from, like, I don't know, 9 to 4 or 5 or something. But they haven't done that. So, I don't know, maybe they've got thinking, like, you know, in a year we might be drafting a first round center.
Right.
That would be the only spot, though, right? Like, because they're not doing it receiver anytime soon. They're not doing a running back anytime soon. They shouldn't be doing it at tight end anytime soon, I hope.
No. I mean, Cedric Pran Granger could be the guy they already tabbed for, or Alec Anderson. They could have him in the building.
Right.
Dave is next up. Dave in Boston here on WGR.
Morning, guys.
Morning, Dave.
Hey, so I'm in my early 30s, and my entire Bills fandom, this is the first time I can remember the Bills bringing back all of the main guys, the core. And it's a good feeling right now. And I guess we'll see how the vibes are and that once the season plays out. And you kind of already touched on my question. And what I was going to ask is, if you think if Gabe Davis gave the Bills a discount, and he'd still be on this roster. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, go Bills.
It's a good question how big the discount would have been. Because you know, if you look at the Gabe career, and why are we talking about Gabe? Because as Joe pointed out, there aren't that many guys that leave. So we might want to say, you know, why would a guy leave? I guess if Gabe would have taken a discount, they might have signed him, or however far down that discount would have been. Gabe signs for what, 13, Joe?
Yeah.
13. I mean, would the Bills have signed him for 10? Maybe. They were comfortable having him be their number two receiver for 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Unchallenged in Super Bowl windows. So Did they all of a sudden decide that wasn't good enough, or did they say, we just can't pay what you think you're going to get on the open market? Gabe could have thought he was going to get 17 on the open market and ultimately gets 13.
Yeah.
And maybe the Bills were offering 10, so, you know, those two sides were very far apart, and when he's out the door, he's out the door.
I wonder if it matters, too, how much it ends. What was the last thing you saw? Because with Gabe, it was... We always mention how Diggs' role became way less efficient and wasn't targeted as much.
Oh yeah,
in the
with Gabe,
offense.
It was he got zero target games.
He was not on the same page with Allen. Remember the Eagles game multiple times where the Eagles game. There's the pick right in the red zone in overtime because him and Josh weren't, you know, they weren't thinking at the same spot. And then there's the Dolphin game where he runs the wrong route at the end zone and Josh throws a pick. So yep. Maybe there was that lack of communication on top of not being targeted. And like with Edmonds, what was the last thing you saw? It was him getting destroyed in the Bengal playoff game. He was on skates the whole day. I mean, I think of complaints about that game, it's two things. It's the defensive line getting pushed around, and maybe this is a defense for Edmonds, is the defensive line getting thrown around, and then Edmonds just getting destroyed in that entire game. And that was the last time we saw him.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, I wonder if that plays into it. If maybe they thought, yeah, we're going to offer this guy. We're going to go in to get this guy to stay. And then in the playoffs, he was a no-show, and they said, and they just, you're like, no, not after that. We're not doing it after that.
803-0550 is our phone number. I have a Let's Get Stupid for everybody out there. I have a James Cook game to play.
Okay.
We'll talk with Sal at 8 o'clock. It rained yesterday.
It did. Hallelujah.
Honest to goodness, rain. Right?
Yes.
Not bad.
Yesterday was one of the best weather days we've had in weeks, just because it wasn't 95 degrees. It was nice. Well, because the rain stopped eventually. So.
It is Thursday. Can you believe there's not a football game on tonight?
Not a what?
Not a football game tonight. Why is there not a preseason game on a Thursday? Come on.
I've pushed against you all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today I'll agree with you.
We need a game
Thursday,
tonight.
Thursday we should have a game.
All right.
Anybody. Throw the Jags on tonight or something.
I've got some of the rundown of Taylor Swift on the New Heights podcast.
Did you watch it?
A little bit. My wife was watching the whole thing. I popped in from time to time.
I watched some of it too, so we could talk about it.
It was good. It was funny. 803-0550, Jeremy and Joe on James Cook. You know, if you want to give us your thoughts, the deal gets done. Cook is signed. And we're talking about it with you here on WGR.
Every year, that's the only goal that you have is winning the Super Bowl. If we don't win it, it's a failure.
As much of a dreamer as Lamar was, I don't think he could have ever imagined this.
Superstar athletes, leading men, they're on the top of the mountain.
The Cowboys are America's team. Why don't we be the world's team?
Chiefs Kingdom!
Fleetwood Mac now.
Yeah, they ruined Fleetwood Mac.
On the kingdom there.
Did you hear what the owner just said in that clip?
What's that?
The Cowboys are America's team. We're the world's team.
Oh, get out.
What a claim. The world hates you, man.
Get out.
The world's team.
We are back to the Chiefs, almost annoying Chiefs season.
Tonight. That's why you don't have a preseason game tonight, because ESPN's got that on, the kingdom.
Right. Right.
Brutal.
Man, let me tell you, got nothing for the Chiefs. I did watch some of Taylor Swift with the Kelce's.
I say, except for their tight end. You're watching his podcast.
Yeah, a little bit. I like his brother a lot. I don't mind him. Number one thing I noticed is Jason Kelce definitely dyed his beard.
Did he?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't notice that. I watched
as someone
that
whose
last
beard
night.
Is going gray,
yeah,
his looks like it's painted on. It's like he dyed that beard. So,
well, he's got a late night show. I mean, he's got to keep up appearances.
I guess he might have to. Sure, you're not allowed to have salt and pepper. All right, fine.
I don't know.
But it was Taylor told the story of how Travis Kelce thought, like how they started dating and how they met. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of funny because if you actually go far enough back, you might remember that it kind of came out like Travis Kelce he went to a concert and made a bracelet and tried to meet her.
Yes.
And he couldn't get backstage. And Taylor was telling the story basically that, yeah, he thought just because he knew the elevator woman, he and Pat, referring to Mahomes, they thought they would just come back.
Yeah.
And she said, like, afterwards, she's like, did they reach out to management? Did they say they wanted to come meet us? Like, no, they just came to the show and figured, like, hey, we're the Chiefs. We get to do what we want around here.
Uh-huh.
And right. It was fun. I appreciate it. I thought they were told no.
They were told no. You can't.
You can't just do that. So there is a level of, hey, you're the king of a city. You're Travis Kelce in Kansas City. Oh, the Taylor Swift tour is here. Can I just show up? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
No, you actually cannot do that. Sorry. I can just imagine that. And you are Patrick Mahomes. Mm. All right. Okay, great. Thanks. Mr. Mahomes, have a great night.
I would have loved to see. Who told them no? Probably not that elevator operator, right? Probably would have been somebody else.
It ultimately worked out for Mr. Kelce there, of course, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I think it did. It was good. I watched the first like 20, 30 minutes with my wife. I think she watched. She'll probably watch the rest of it today.
Bills Mafia got a mention,
yeah,
of course, because they're at that playoff game.
And within the first 10 minutes, she talked about how she thought that Josh Allen and like Jared Goff would play against each other on the field at the same time.
Yes.
And now she knows what like cover six is or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was good. All right. You want to play the fun James Cook game?
Yes.
As we get back into a conversation? Man. All right. We got a great James Cook game. We haven't played this game in a while. You can play along. We'll do that and take more of your calls on the Bills extension for their star running back, James Cook. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR.